do today is something that I do at the end of every semester in our program. We do a Young Religious Leaders Project, and so we have interns every semester. And they come from all different backgrounds, and they come from different faith traditions. And at the end of the semester, we like to do something that helps them to become conscious of the message that God has given them during that semester that they need to take into the next place that they're going. So what I thought that I would like to do, because this is the end of a week and many people will be leaving, if not today, tomorrow, is that I wanted to do with you what we do with them, so that you, to help clarify what it is that God has been saying to you during your time here, if you're going. And if you're staying next week, then it might be interesting to see what God has said to you so far as you go into the next week. Now, how do we know what God is saying to us? That could be a whole class.
That could be a Bible study.
But one way that we often ignore in our society is that God always in Scripture speaks to people in dreams. That there are these revelatory dreams that God speaks through. And part of why I think God does that is because sometimes we need symbols to get the full richness of the message. That words are too two-dimensional. That they don't get to all that God wants to say to us. And so God often will speak in symbols. But part of what I got introduced to a number of years ago by a pastor who had a lot of Jungian therapy background is that he taught us about how you create a waking dream. That how you enter into the place in your subconscious where God can speak to you in symbols. And the exercise that we're going to do together is an exercise that I learned from him, and that's the exercise we use at the end of each semester to help people to tune in to the deeper message that God has been giving us. Now, I have an assumption here that God is always speaking to us, and I believe that very, very deeply. I believe that there is always wisdom that is being given to us, going back to sort of last night in the worship service, that we don't necessarily have the ears to hear, as Jesus said. So it's being able to open ourselves in a different way together. So what I just plan to do in this time, and it may not take a whole hour or it might, is I'll lead you into the space that you need to be in spiritually in order to go into the waking dream. And I'll lead you through the dream. And then when we come back out of it, I will ask for volunteers who would be willing to share, because I've had a lot of years working with these dreams, and I can offer some interesting ways to begin to hear through the symbols that someone shares. So nobody would be forced to do that, but if you would like to do that, you should know ahead of time that I'll be asking for volunteers. And then I'll have people go in pairs, so that you haven't, who would like to share your story with, who haven't been one of the volunteers but would like to share your story with somebody else and get their insights. So it's very simple what I want to do today. But you need to get physically comfortable, which is a little hard in this room. Everybody sort of has their way to do it. And I want you to start by taking some very deep breaths. Very often in the modern world, we do not breathe all the way. We're too frightened, we're too full of adrenaline, we're too focused on getting something done. We don't breathe like babies. We breathe through their whole lungs, all the way into their stomach. And the problem with adrenaline is it's distracting. It's a buzz in the ears. So you need to breathe really slowly, really deeply. Let the breath of life fill you all the way up in your lungs and let it all the way out. And every time you breathe in, you are taking in life. And every time you let out everything that is pressing you, stressing you, distracting you. Every time you breathe out, it's a cleansing. Let it go. Breathe in the clear, fresh air of Holden. Breathe in life till your lungs are full. Breathe out and let everything go. All the worries, all the tension. Let everything move through you. I want you to let your head and your face relax. It's as if you just let the water drain out. With all the tension that you hold around your eyes and your cheeks and your head, you just let that tension drain like a massage. As if it's just going down your neck into a puddle on the floor. Let your mouth relax. Let your neck relax. All those tense muscles in the back of your neck, just let them relax. If your head drops a little, it's fine. Just let all that tension sort of drip down, stream down, going to the ground. And keep breathing. Now let your shoulders relax. All the weights that you're carrying, let them slip off. God will catch them. Let your shoulders and your shoulder blades, your upper arms, all the tension drain. Feel your arms, your hands, your palms loosen. All the tension come out of your Your hands don't need to work right now. Feel your lower back, your spine, all the pain that you carry, your chest and stomach. Let it just rest. It's time to rest. Your hips and your legs. Let them rest. Let the tension drain. All the way down into your feet and your toes. And let every muscle relax. Now I want you to imagine that you are in some beautiful natural place. Any place that you choose. I want you to notice what time of day it is. Notice what the weather is like, maybe even the season. Begin to walk, and you raise your eyes and you see in front of you, not very far away, a mountain. It could be a small mountain, it could be a large mountain, it could be sort of a glorified hill, it's whatever you see. Walk in the direction and begin to climb. Notice how the climb is. Is it really easy? Are you tired? Are you energized? How is the weather? Now you come to a ledge and there's a path wide enough for you to walk. And you start walking along the ledge and you come around a turn and there is a little fire, man-made fire, in front of a cave. You go inside the cave, and there is someone in the cave. Someone who comes to meet you as you enter. Notice how you feel about that person. Notice what they say to you, if they say anything to you. and say to them whatever you want to say to them. Spend some time with them. When the time with them is done, they go into the back of the cave, and this person brings you a gift. Look at the gift. Receive the gift. Look at it closely. How do you feel about it? If you need to say anything to the person about the gift, go ahead and say it. If you have questions, say your goodbye. And come out again to the ledge. Notice if anything is different. How do you feel? What time of day is it? How is the weather? Make your way back around the path. Go back down the mountain. Come back to the place that you were. Take a look at the gift. Is it the same? Has it changed? Notice again the time of day, the season, how you feel. Then come back when you are ready and open your eyes. Take your time. Make sure you take a minute to remember, don't forget. Also, don't feel bad if your mind wouldn't take you everywhere that I wanted you to go. Trust your own subconscious that it took you where you needed to go. So, and I do want to say that there's about 1 out of 25 people that can't do this kind of imagery. So if you can't do it, it doesn't mean God's not speaking to you. It just means that this isn't how it works for you. But I'd say for the other 24, it works. So is there a volunteer who would like to tell your story? And then I'll give you some training by experience in how to begin to understand this. Speak loud enough so people can hear you.
I had trouble focusing on the type of mountain that I was climbing.
Well, start with the place that you first, where were you first?
I started out on the beach, the sunny beach. And that's where I was starting from.
And is it a beach that has associations for you? Is it a beach you've been to before? Or was the beach new to you? Just a place that you love?
No, I had never seen it before.
You had never seen it. Are you a person who loves the beach, or are you? So how were you? What time of day was it?
It was afternoon, sunny, warm.
And how were you feeling? Were you happy to be there?
Mm-hmm.
The first place that you are when you go there is usually a very good reflection of how you are at this moment in your life. Mm-hmm. so you know, just so that you have a sense of that. So I would gather that you're probably pretty okay. You know, you may feel like it's sometimes when it's late afternoon, people feel like, well, either they're a little tired or there's something that they need to get done before it's dark. You know, like various things can, the afternoon can mean to. So you were on the beach and then you had some trouble focusing on the mountain.
Right. What came to mind was practical, first of all. I saw Holden, the mountain I saw the other night. It was sunny and the light was shining on it. But that's not the mountain that stayed in my head when I started climbing it. It became a very rocky mountain with boulders that were rounded and climbing over the boulders.
And usually the mountain is sort of what's in front of you next. It's the task that is in front of you next. So I would gather that whatever that you would like to think of the task in front of you as, you know, very beautiful and the sun shining, but that's not really how you feel about it. You really think it's quite rocky and there's a big bowl.
And then you mentioned the path. And again, the mountain changed, but the boulders were not there. I just focused on this narrow path that was winding around, very troubling to the mountain. Then came to the fire, and it was nighttime. Mm-hmm. It was the fire that I had was during the night. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into the cave, it was dark. Mm-hmm. And the person that met me there was an older woman. And the older woman,
and someone that you knew or someone you've never seen?
Never seen before.
How did you feel about her?
She was very kind, very wise and very kind. And a feeling of warmth and acceptance and love. That was the feelings that I had with this old woman.
By the way, the person in the cave is God. Mm-hmm. The person in the cave is God, or God's messenger. Someone through whom God is speaking to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God came to you in the form of a wise, kind old woman who exuded love and warmth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the gift she gave me was a daisy. And I have no idea. And so when you were asking how did it make you feel, and I was just confused. I had no idea why I would receive a daisy. And when I asked her to explain why I had a daisy, she says, "You'll figure it out."
That says that a lot.
I was thinking to myself, a daisy doesn't smell. So I was very confused when I started back up. And the time of day, it was morning when I left the cave. It was morning, but it was still a sunny day.
And when you got down to the bottom again, what kind of day was it?
It was morning.
It was a morning. Mm-hmm. And was the daisy still the same?
Mm-hmm. It was.
So this is an interesting question, or maybe, you know, anybody's insight, that the body of Christ works together in interesting ways around this. What do you think of when you think of, well, first, you first, what do you think of when you think of a daisy? You think it doesn't smell good. Do you think it's pretty?
Yes, but I can think of other
things that you'd much rather have.
A rose.
So that's an interesting thing, that whatever God is giving you, you wish you had something else. It's you know, what God has given you is pretty commonplace at this point, and you're not very excited about it. But, yes, what do you think?
Daisy is often used in the game of saying, "She loves me, she loves me."
Oh, that's a fascinating possibility. So that's a possibility to think about. Is there something you're trying to discern? And, you know, daisies are all about figuring out. Often if someone loves you or not, but sometimes it could be something else, yes or no. Mm-hmm. It's a yes or no. Yes.
daisies can also mean purity. The white petals radiating out can mean purity.
Daisies are very ancient. And, you know, like Carl Jung believed, and I have no reason not to think it's true, that we are somehow, because I know we're all connected, that we are somehow connected to our ancestral memories. Mm-hmm. So that there are symbols that you find in every single culture around the world, people that have never had any interaction with each other, ancient people, and they have the same symbols. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have slightly different associations, and sometimes they're very similar. But there's often mere symbols that go through. So daisies often mean innocence. They often mean purity. They can be a re-giving to you of your childhood. It's like taking you back there in some way.
I wouldn't say so much about the gift itself, but of the giving and the fact that this woman said, you'll figure it out, meaning that you have capabilities maybe that you haven't even tapped into.
Right.
And you have these gifts given to you and they're inside.
Mm-hmm. And that would go along with the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a place and there's a sense that something in you is very unexplored. The light hasn't even shone on it yet. And it's something that you may think is very commonplace. Too commonplace to be very interesting. But that in that there is really a gift. You know, and that there is something childlike, something natural. And that maybe you have to take the time to figure it out. Because you haven't paid much attention to it because it's only a daisy. But that's the heart of the message. Just, you know, take some time to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I love that it was morning at the end. Mm-hmm. Because morning is a hopeful time. It's the beginning of something. Mm-hmm. So God was really saying to you, this is the beginning of a new time. Mm-hmm. This can be the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
When you begin, part of what I say is, you know, that when you begin to unwrap something like this, you begin to see things. But if you hold on, I'd say in a week from now, when you finish here, write down. Because in a week from now, you're going to see something about it that you haven't seen right now. Mm-hmm. It's just like scripture. You can read the same scripture hundreds of times, and it's different every time you read it. Because what comes from God is like that. So if you look at it in a year, it will be different. Of course, if you did this in a year, it would be completely different. You'll never have the same thing twice. Because you're in a different place in your life. Yes.
Is there a reason you use the form of a cave to encounter the person as opposed to, say, a house or a valley?
It's an ancient symbol. A cave is a very, very ancient symbol of a place, a hidden place. You know, we're trying to go to the hidden place. We're trying to go to the place that we haven't been paying attention to, which is so often the place that God is speaking. Now, part of what you might have noticed, the tone of the dream is, of the waking dream is very important. You know, that the tone of your dream was generally okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but there was some hard work in it, some stress and some hard work, but it was generally okay. I have had people have had experiences of real fear or pain or anguish, and usually it's something that they're trying not to see how bad they're feeling. You know, I say it's not a judgment that you're feeling bad. It's just something you need to pay attention to. But there are parts of us that need to be paid attention to. There's dreams where people can't see when they came. You know, we call that the dark night of the soul, when God seems to be silent. That's, again, it's not because you're bad and you didn't do it right. The dark night of the soul can be an extremely rich place spiritually. But it's good to know that that's what's happening in you. Anybody else is brave and wants to do this?
I'll tell this story. I think when I first was going into the dream, I was at this A-line chalet that's owned by Ocean Shores, and I think there were some friends of my parents that had a chalet, and they were loaning it to us. Our whole family was together. It was just a real close time. And then when we were going to the mountain, or, you know, walking towards the mountain, suddenly I switched to kind of like Cannon Beach, and there was those kind of hills in the back there, and I was kind of walking towards those hills. And it was like in the morning time. And then when I was walking up towards the mountain where the ledge was, then I was back at Richmond Beach, you know, because up there there's this kind of a cliff, that there's this path that you can walk along there. And then when I got to the fire in the cave, I went in there and I wasn't sure who was there. Then suddenly my older brother was there. And the gift that he gave me was a big conch shell, or, you know, a big shell. And I guess it just kind of brought up some memories of when my mother died. Then my older brother was the one that I looked up to. But he was always the one that made me feel like he totally understood me and that everything was going to be okay. So that's what came out of it.
And you know, that is as important as the gift, mm-hmm. was that sense of God saying to you, I totally understand you, and yeah. everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's what you need to hear right mm-hmm. now. And when you talked about the different places that it was, with all the different associations, mm-hmm. it sounds to me like there's a lot going on with you. Like, you know, lots yeah. of the like different tracks going
yeah,
on at the same
a lot
time.
Of different tracks. Yeah.
You know, but in the midst of it, you really need that word of, you know,
yeah.
I understand you. It's okay. Now, conch shells
yeah,
are very, very powerful images.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Does anyone know what the Native Americans use conch shells for? A conch is when you're in a group, in a meeting, the conch is passed from one person to another so that everyone in the meeting who wants to gets a chance to speak and be listened to with great attention. Because the person holding the conch has the opportunity to speak and receive the full attention of everyone in the room. Mm. Only the person holding the conch. So that's one of those examples of you don't know that consciously. But these symbols are really deep in our ancestral heritage, and people know them more than they know. So, you know, I would say that part of that might be that this is, God was saying to you, this is going to be your moment to speak and be heard. So don't be silent.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you might be tempted to be silent about, don't be. This is the moment to take a conch. Did it change when you came down the mountain?
I just felt... You know how somebody totally understands you and you felt, what's the word? Validated. And that, you know, sometimes you don't always know how to run your life, you know. But it's kind of like, it kind of felt like I was, oh, I'm on the right path after all. So.
Wow, what a wonderful affirmation that
yeah.
comes out of this.
And I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. It just seems kind
of
strange.
These touch very deep places. When I call it a waking dream, this is a waking dream. You go to a very deep place. The relaxation exercise is to remove all of the barriers that normally keep us from touching the deepest places. Because we have defense mechanisms inside us that keep us from going very deep. So it is very normal during this. In fact, I thought about it when I started. I thought I should have brought Kleenex. Because I've never done this and not had somebody cry. So, yeah.
You
should have
what?
I've never done this and not had somebody cry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody touches something that's deep enough that they cry. People often meet people that have passed away already in the cave. There's often things that happen. So the conch, the other thing about the conch in particular that's very interesting is the mystery of the conch, right? That there's circles that go deeper and deeper and deeper. So I always think that there's a real call in the image of a conch to go deeper. You know, that to take time to go deeper into the mystery of who you are. Take the time. Is there anybody else that would add anything about what you think of when you think of a conch?
Do you listen to it?
Yes. It's about, it's a, it's,
listening.
You have to listen. And I think that would go, you have to listen to yourself. Before you can say what you have to say, you have to hear it first.
It sounds also a feminine symbol.
It's a very feminine image, the shell.
In Africa, you wear those shells that women wear.
So I don't know if those are all clues for you, if those make sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, take, as we give, as I do this kind of interpretive work, know in the end that you're the only person who can interpret it.
Yeah.
But we're giving you clues that you might be able to take back and sit with a little bit, and even over the next day or 2 days or however long you're here, see what comes up for you. Write it down, mm-hmm. see what comes up, see if you understand it better over time.
Mm-hmm.
You may understand it better over time. One of the things, before the next person shares, that I want to tell you that was very, very interesting, because we do interfaith work, so we have people from all different faith traditions who are doing this. We had a young Jewish boy and a young Muslim boy, and the young Jewish boy argued with the person in the cave.
Which was so very perfect.
And the young Muslim boy said it was a prophet in the cave, and he had to prostrate himself on the ground. So it was you know, very
wow.
interesting in terms of how people's spirituality is very good.
What if you meet somebody about whom you have ambivalence?
I would imagine that says something about ambivalence that you might have towards God at this moment.
Well, that could be, I suppose.
Yeah.
And a gift that you're not so happy about.
And that may be what's also happening.
Yeah. You may be getting some gifts that you're not so happy about.
It's lumpy and not that pretty.
Yeah.
It's very often true in life that we get gifts that we're not so happy about.
And do I have to keep it, or do I have to? It's
a girl with a person in the kitchen. About the gift you were being given.
It's actually, you know, every spiritual tradition basically emphasizes something that is part of all of our traditions.
Yeah.
You know, all of us have the tradition of Abraham arguing with God.
Yeah.
We just don't emphasize it very much in Christianity.
No.
But, you know, sometimes that's something we have to learn. If we're ambivalent about God and we're getting something from God that we're not all that happy about, you know, we need to have that argument.
A couple of months ago, I was having a lot of pain in my hip. I've got bursitis in one hip.
Yeah.
And my friend just flippantly said, "What are you arguing with God about?"
Well, because the hip is also
that
struggling, the wrestling with
God.
It sounds like it's time for some God wrestling for you.
Well, I've been. But what was interesting was that when she said that, suddenly it brought a lot of focus. The hip got a lot better. I also was riding my bike more, so that helped. But the hip got a lot better, and the wrestling was more explicit, less buried in my body.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what this is about. It's about making explicit that which is actually buried in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What if you get a gift? I got a gift and it came in a shiny package, and it's almost like a writing book or something. It was very skinny and flat and very shiny, but I kept turning it over and over, and I couldn't open it. I just could not open it.
Do you feel in your life like there's something you can't figure out right now? Like you're trying to figure out that there's...
No, I feel more like I'm in a place where I've been filled up for so long with ideas and philosophies and thoughts, and I feel like it's in me, but I'm quiet with all these ideas, not knowing exactly how to express them at this point and integrate all the thoughts and concepts at this point. Because it's all there, it just doesn't know how to come out anymore.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like something that you don't know. You don't know
what
to do with all of it. You don't know what to do with
it.
Now, it isn't in the dream. It's shiny, right? It's nice. It's not bad. It's not like the kind of puzzle where you're anguishing. It's a shiny thing. You just don't know what to do with it. You're literally turning it over to wonderful image. Exactly what you said about it. I have all these things, and I'm just turning them over and over and over. And
I'll swap you.
So, you know, again, you can take that back to God. You can say, you know, I got this, I didn't get this, and why? And, you know, what do I do with this shiny gift that you've given me that I'm turning over and over and over? Did it change when you got to the bottom?
I got stuck in the cave.
You know, they call it the philosopher's cave sometimes.
Oh.
Philosopher's what?
The philosopher's cave. Philosophers are always in caves.
Okay, I didn't want to leave or something.
You know, you didn't want to go. You're going to stay in that cave until you figure out what it is. Right. It's not a bad thing to do.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this exercise something we can integrate in our prayer life, and can we do it alone?
Yeah, it's easier. You know, I've always found that I have to have someone else do it. But you can have some, you can just ask somebody to lead you through.
Sure.
You know, you can write down the thing, and your friend can lead you through, your husband, your guide. You know, somebody can lead you through it. But it's very hard to do by yourself. Because you start second guessing yourself
yourself.
But if somebody else is leading, because you also have to relax, you have to sort of surrender and let go, which again you can't do if you're doing it. Someone has to lead you through it. We have a couple questions. We have one. Why don't you finish yours?
Well, I just wondered, I've been awfully, this sounds kind of weird, but I've been bored lately. Really bored, and I don't know why. Would that have to do with being stuck in the cave, or what to do next, or how
to... Well, waiting is very boring.
Stumped.
It sounds like you're waiting in the cave. Waiting can be very boring.
It makes me impatient.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I might see you know that. Yes, one over there. I'm
wondering about trying to do it a second time, since we now know the meaning, at least your...
It still works. I mean, I've done it for years.
I'm now going to come to the cave, and I'm going to see if, you know, I'm posing... man with white hair and a stern look, and there's God. I'm not going
to
see.
You'll try to do that, and it won't work. Yeah. If you were trying to see Holden, and it wouldn't work, it's like your mind won't let you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll notice that very often. You know, because I know so well what all this is, but I'll have people do this with me every few years because I always learn a lot from it, and I've often an image will come, and I start laughing. Because it's so perfect, but it'll be fleeting because I already know it. You know, I get it right away. But
I just wondered if the opening part was a yoga-related thing.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It comes out of yoga.
It would work better if it was on the
floor. Yes. Usually when we do this, we do it in a big, open kind of rumpus room where people can sit on chairs if they want, or they can lie down, or they can lie on a pillow. Or so I can say, get comfortable, and it means something. When I say, get comfortable here, do my feet out, or... And then actually, you know, you did real good that some of you were able to go there even when you couldn't feel physically relaxed. What time is it right now? Because I don't know how my time was today. 11:25. But let's take one or two more, and then I'll do the pairs. Yes.
I did weep, and I hope I can tell this story. I chose a place called, it's just a little pet name. It's called the Fairy Glen, and it's a little stream with primroses blooming around it. And it's on the island of Arran, which is off the coast of Scotland. It has a lot of association for me. And it's a beautiful place. I often go there when I'm trying to go to sleep. So I was walking there, and then I turned around and walked toward the mountain, which is there, and it didn't change. I was really there. Didn't have any stumbling on the pathway, just kind of walked around. When I got to the fire, it was morning, by the way. It was and warm and pretty sunny. Went into the cave.
Just breathe your way through. Mm-hmm.
It was my father, who died in 1947, and I've missed him all my life. And he came toward me and he said, I love you. And we just talked a little while, and we just loved each other. He hugged me. He said how much I missed him. The gift he gave me was a soft, white shawl. It was all folded up, very pretty, something that I would hold, not tiny, hold in my hand and my arms. It was hard to leave, but But I did, with a little weeping, but not with anguish, and walked back down the path. The shawl did not change, it was still the same. I was carrying it out in my arms. It was like a very soft wool, very and pure white.
Something that comforts. When you put it around you,
yes. And I have affinity for shawls. I like shawls. And it was afternoon when I got back down the mountain and to the fairy glen, and it was still the same, looking with primroses.
What a beautiful gift. The nice thing about a shawl, too, is it's consoling and it keeps you warm in cold times.
And it also reminds me of the Jewish people, they have
prayer shawls.
Prayer shawls.
Mm-hmm. That's right, that the shawl is an ancient image of prayer.
Yeah.
We make a lot of prayer shawls for the ill.
If the person in the cave can or often represents God, how do you interpret when the person in the cave is a loved one, like a father?
I say God or a messenger from God. Mm-hmm. You know, the word angel means messenger from God. That's all it means. God uses messengers. So, particularly when we need a messenger.
So would you, if you don't mind, explain perhaps why the encounter with the Father would be a message from God?
Well, if that person was someone in my life through whom we felt really loved, then that's a natural person for God to communicate. You know, the ancient rabbis... The rabbis, about 50 years before, 20 years, excuse me, before Jesus' ministry, so he might have even heard this as a young kid, they were talking about this question of the coin with Caesar's face on it and whether they could use the coin because it was idolatry. And in the process, they talked about how God's image couldn't fit in just one person, that we needed the whole human race. To express the image of God. That we are the coin upon which God, which actually helps you to understand that whole scripture differently.
Yes.
But, so you know, it's not surprising that God comes to us through people quite often. In fact, we know that God does. So, you know, in a dream like this, God comes to you through a person in a way that helps you to understand something that God wants you to understand. So in this case, God wanted you to experience again how deeply you're loved. And that was something you needed to experience. Sometimes this comes in a very challenging way because you need to be challenged. Sometimes you need to be comforted. It depends on the person and what's going on in your life.
I was just wondering, out of this group, how many people experienced someone who was comforting them?
Versus someone who was challenging.
Exactly, yes.
I always don't like to push people to reveal if they're not ready to reveal. This is very personal, and sometimes people are ready and sometimes people are not. I always remember my daughter one time when she got a polar bear. But the polar bear was very nice. You know, and again, my daughter, her father was indigenous, and she has a lot of very profound connection with nature. That's sort of often what she experiences God most intensely. So God was this very loving poor girl. You know, rub out his hand on her or something. Yes.
I really had trouble finding a place. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't find a gift. But my mother was there.
And how was it to be with your mother?
Oh, it was. I'm with her all the time. She's been dead since 79, but she's an image I talk to always.
Often I think when we when we meet somebody who's passed away, it is a way of God telling us that we all will be reunited again. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of reassuring moment.
And it was almost like I had a lot of gifts from her, so it was almost like I couldn't imagine another gift. Mm-hmm.
But see, sometimes it sounds like it was about recognizing all the gifts you've been given.
Oh, sure.
You don't need another one. You just need to really recognize and receive and affirm all the gifts you've been given from her. And that's a wonderful message. And I think that God may even, you know, send people. But, you know, this is not biblical, this is just me. But there's nothing biblically against it, that, you know, people may be allowed to be angels to come and reach us. That God may let people who are already with him come and be our, be messengers to us when we need it. It's neither biblical nor anti-biblical. Mm-hmm. Extra biblical. Full experience over the years. So, you know, maybe we needed that. And often it's only in the place of waking dreams that they can reach us. There's no other way that we're able to, children can see angels sometimes, especially small children. But most of us are too rational. We can only see angels in places of waking dreams. So, is there a final one that someone wants to share?
Yes. I started in the evening in the rainforest, which is a really, whenever I imagine somewhere wonderful today or want to go somewhere wonderful, it was in the rainforest. In the early evening, it was misty and the sun was shining through at an angle. It was very peaceful. And then the mountain appeared on the path, and it was like this obsidian pyramid. It was mm-hmm. not very big, but really hard, and couldn't see through it. Mm-hmm. And then the path started going up. When I got to the cave, there was an old woman, like, she kind of ragged, but I was so happy to see her. And I felt love and everything. And then she turned around, and she gave me a shard of rock. A really sharp shard of rock.
And the same obsidian rock that the mountain
was
made of?
No, it was gray, just a gray, sharp, sharp thing. And I didn't know what to do with it, and then she just kind of turned away. And then when I went outside, suddenly it had become all stormy and rainy and awful, and I just started down the path again. And when I got to the bottom, the shard of rock had a black tip on it, and that was the end, and it was just very upsetting. So I don't
know. I think that the first thing you said about the mountain was really interesting. You said it was obsidian and you couldn't see through it. It's interesting that most of us wouldn't even think about seeing through a mountain. So the phrase, I think, is important, that on some level you feel like you're coming to a place in your life where you're not going to be able to see your way very clearly. You know, it's something that you can't see in the way that you want to be able to see it. And this is your own, it may not be what's actually going to happen, it's usually what we sense might happen or what we're worried might happen or in terms of the next phase in our lives. I have had people before in doing this exercise who, I have had people who consciously knew that they were facing something difficult coming up. I've had people who didn't allow themselves to consciously know that they were facing something difficult, but they were. And then I've had people who were just frightened and had to face the fear that it wasn't even true, but it was a fear that they were carrying, that they were coming up against something difficult. So I think that's the first question for you is, do you actually think that you're about to come up against something very difficult?
Yeah, maybe.
So, you know, so this is about that. And, you know, the first thing is that the woman was ragged, but she was present and loving. And so there was this real promise that the love is going to be there for you in the midst of this difficult thing that you may be coming up against.
And I thought she was going to give me answers. Yeah. I was relieved to see her because I thought I could get some answers from her.
Is that what we do with God? We just get love. We don't just want love.
The image of a pointed rock, and I asked if it was obsidian because the mountain was obsidian, but it sounds like in the end it got some obsidian on the tip of it. It's got this black tip. It could have been obsidian. Yes.
When she described the rock, I instantly thought of flint,
which is
gray, and it breaks on sharp edges. It's ancient rock that was used for tools and fire starting.
It's the first thing that was ever used. That's what I thought of too. It's the first element that was ever used for tools. It's a primitive tool. And it is also one of the tools. It was part of what it's used for was to start fires. That before there were matches or before there were anything.
You strike it and it strikes a spark.
Strike it and it strikes a spark.
So the gray flint and the black tip And black, the color of charcoal.
Yes.
The color of cold, color of fire.
So what it says to me is that you might feel sort of helpless in whatever you're frightened is coming up next, but that you're not really helpless. You've been given a very primitive multi-use tool. That's what you need to hold on to. And it reminds me of the scripture that says that we will never be tested more than we can bear, but there will always be an exit, or there will always be an avenue. And it's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Internet has been terrible for me because I can look up any scripture in 2 minutes. So I don't remember the references anymore, you know, BibleGateway.com. I used to have to memorize all that stuff years ago, you know, where things were. But, I would say as you face whatever you're frightened of, that you need to think about the fact that you have been promised that you will have this very primitive, basic, multi-use tool that can get you through. But it is upsetting when you have a fantasy and you see, you know, really upsetting things in it. Because none of us want upsetting things. But it usually means that underneath, somewhere inside, that's what you're seeing. You just have to pay attention. And again, it may be true or not true. It may be that something upsetting is coming, and it may not be. It's your fear that you're carrying. Mm-hmm. And you need to pay attention to that. So I want to check.
What about when your gift totally changes? I got a blanket when I was there, and when I got down from the mountain, it was a cross.
I love those ones because usually you're being given something that looks like one thing, but it's really more than that. Mm-hmm. I don't say it's not that, I say it's more than that.
Okay.
So, you know, you were given a blanket, which is warmth and protection and security, but it actually has in the blanket a cross. Mm-hmm. You know, and a cross is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, a cross means you're walking the way of Jesus, and that's not going to be easy. But on the other side is resurrection. Mm-hmm. A cross is a promise of suffering and hope. And it's very interesting when you said that, because often people who are outside faith say, oh, it's just a security blanket. But they don't have any idea it's the cross. It's like, I'm sorry, faith is not easy. You think it's easy? You have no idea. Following Jesus is not an easy thing. It's a great thing, but it's not an easy thing. So there's sort of an interesting thing going on there. It sounds to me like you're given something to do with faith. And that maybe they're given a faith that at first feels very comforting, but is actually going to end up taking you some places that you may not imagine going. And you have some sense that it's coming up, so it's preparing you. And from what just you've said in other times here, I would say that's probably true.
Yeah.
So I do want to do a time check again. I'm so sorry. I didn't bring my watch.
11:44.
So instead of going into twos, you can please share with each other afterwards if you want, because we only have 6 more minutes. I just want to leave time for anybody else who wants to do their story or has a question to share.
I'd be curious to hear what you have to say about my gift.
Yeah,
because that was what I've done a lot of imagery, and that was what surprised me the most. I don't know very much about it.
Okay.
I was given a very cool and smooth jade stone. So kind of about the shape of an egg. Love that.
Well, you know, jade in China, again, if we're all connected and we have this ancestral memory, jade in China is the symbol for precious things. It's the symbol for preciousness. So, you know, maybe it's a message about how precious and valuable you are. And the size of the jade is very connected to how precious something is. So you have this little teeny piece of jade. Jade is very expensive. You know, this little teeny piece of jade, it doesn't, you know, it's precious, but if you have a jade egg, that's, you know, means you're very, very and then an egg is a wonderful symbol, right?
Yes.
What is an egg?
Birth.
Life. Not life, new life.
Nourish
What is this, what about stones? The reason I ask about stones is I give stones to children. I collect stones and give them to children.
Stones are an incredibly rich image biblically, and in all ancient cultures, you build an altar out of stones. You know, stones are useful, but they're also sacred. Stones are always sacred. You know, when you were in a place, and when Jacob was in the place where he experienced the ladder going up and down to heaven, he had to build a little altar of stones to remember.
Yeah.
So the stones are sacred. Mm-hmm. Stones are also what David used to down Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. We were doing a worker support action with around this huge hotel, and we gave people stones that said support and strength on them. So for people to hold on to. And then people were saying, you shouldn't give those workers all those stones. They'll tell us big windows. And that was really mistreating those workers. Nobody threw one.
So my stone, I mean, it don't seem too obvious because it was Jesus in the cave when I got there, like with any encounter like this, not that I've done this before, but I always come with all this immediate guilt and I'm so sorry, I haven't been enough. And there's always that just peace gift. And so my stone was smooth, but I started out at the river, which is always a very peaceful image for me. And in my stone, it was like this swirling blue water, but it wasn't really water.
It was water and water. Stone at the same time. That's
right.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, remember, water, the stone is water. Moses, remember Moses hits the stone and water comes out. It's a preparation for being in the desert. You're going to be in a desert where you think you might not have enough water in some way in your life, then the stone is going to be a place of water. But there's an interesting story in it, which is there's one point where Moses hits the stone, but he's not supposed to and gets into trouble.
Uh-huh.
When he's, you know, he's not supposed to, like, overuse the stone. Let's use it when God tells him to. Oh. It is quite amazing what we carry inside that we don't take the time to find. The many ways that God is speaking to us that we don't see because, you know, we're not children anymore after all. But we have to become like children to enter the kingdom. And children are very open to wonder and images and magic. And we have to become like children to enter the kingdom. So may God bless you all with all the gifts that God means you to receive as you go to the next place in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.